Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. And I pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B. Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. And I pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the RHAP B&B for the final 3 weeks of Big Brother 21. My name is Mike Bloom, still sweeping up some confetti and watermelon chunks from the end of Big Brother 21. It's been a long 13 weeks, but we are finally here and a few days afterwards as well to truly digest all the stuff that has gone down. I have assembled a fantastic panel to break down the very end of this season. First, let me bring in somebody who you've heard in your earbuds every Saturday breaking down Big Brother 21, Liana Boris. Liana, how are you?
I'm good. No, it's funny. I was at the grocery store the other day and they were out of watermelon. And I was like, oh my gosh, Jackson was here. Like, now that I know he's out of the house, it was like he came and he bought all the watermelon with his $500,000 winnings. That was my assumption.
Just wreaking havoc on Kroger's across the country. Yeah. Everybody watch out. We are so excited to have our guest here. This is the first time we're having him on for Big Brother proper. He was on Survivor earlier on in Edge of Extinction. I would call him the best Survivor and Big Brother YouTuber there is out there. His handle is Peridium. Welcome back to the B&B. How you doing?
Thank you so much, Mike, for letting me on this podcast, inviting me on for, I guess, this is my third time now with RHAP, second time with the B&B. I was going to quickly say, bouncing off of your watermelon story, Liana, I don't remember the last time I've had watermelon or ever be so relevant in my day-to-day, week-to-week living situation. Just having the word and just picturing it, seeing Jackson eat them on the live feeds nonstop. So I actually went out when I was at the grocery store about 3 weeks ago and I bought myself a watermelon, which I don't really understand why I was just there. I was walking around in the aisle and there was a watermelon right there. So I'm going to buy that and I'm going to crack it open, mostly because at the time that was when things were going well for that foursome, the Cliff, Nicole, Jackson. I was behind Jackson. I was okay with him. I was actually feeling pretty good about him considering where we started. But then I don't know what happened. I forgot about the watermelon. It's just been sitting there. And then all of a sudden it became really messy at the final five. And then the next thing you know, I just have neglected the watermelon altogether. And it's been sitting there on my countertop for about a month now. And it's really like the story of Big Brother 21 for me, where it just was a roller coaster of emotion all centered on one little watermelon. And that's it.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say that's actually a pretty good analogy, especially for the end of the game, too. It's like, OK, you're feeling really good. And it's like, oh, no.
And I was looking at it the other day. I was like, I wonder what it would look like if I just like took a sledgehammer to it for the heck of it. I don't know.
Well, I was going to say the sledgehammer could represent, I don't know, certain comments that Julie Chen might use about right. past behaviors and just smash things open completely to the point where you make a similar face to as Jackson did when he walked up out of the Big Brother house, $500,000 richer, but at what cost?
Right.
Yeah, you got to Gallagher it up. Also, though, you might just want to throw the whole thing away. I don't know how long watermelons last, but
I don't know anything about them. So it's going to Google that and be like, is this still good? And my wife was like, I think it's still good, right? But she has no idea either. She actually doesn't even like watermelon. So I don't know.
Uh-oh. Okay.
It says the shelf life of watermelon is pretty long, about 3 to 4 weeks when it's picked off the vine. God knows how long that
is. Oh, man. Uh-oh. Well, this is also a mini watermelon. It's a little bit smaller.
Ooh.
So I don't know if that makes a difference.
Yeah.
But
it's like what Zingbot is to baby Zingbot, watermelon is to mini watermelon.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cute.
Which, Leon, I don't know, considering our canon of Zingbot, I don't know what that's going to mean.
Oh, yeah, that's actually very true. I don't think you want to get involved in any sort of Zingbot comparison. So, yeah, maybe just toss it would probably be the safest option.
So a lot has happened even since we were on last with Puya. As Peridium said, last time we were on, we were looking down the barrel of a really intriguing Final Five vote where Nicole and Cliff could do no wrong. They were riding high. In fact, Leon and I got to not only meet, but sit next to each other during what I would say is probably one of the most energetic, epic Big Brother episodes ever in terms of how live the vote was up until that point. And we watched things kind of just slowly roll off the countertop from then on, culminating in a win from Jackson Mickey, which very belated congratulations to him, Holly for second place, and of course, Nicole Anthony in one of the most, I would say, overwhelming fan favorite votes, to the point where Julie Chen even quantifies it. I'm really intrigued to get all of our thoughts about the season, especially Peridium, since I know you're arranging a Big Brother 21 season in review. Let me just throw out a question and get all of y'all responses to it. Is Big Brother 21 the weirdest modern season of Big Brother?
I would say, personally, thinking back, modern Big Brother, I would consider maybe like 16 onward, give or take. And I would say, yeah, I think it is. I just think like the whole dichotomy of the pre-jury versus the post-jury, how it's almost split right at the middle with day 44. And then just, there's just a lot of mixed emotions here where I think I know how I'm feeling. And then all of a sudden somebody else walks into the room and I'm like, I don't know about this anymore. And it just is a weird mess of all kinds of emotion. I'm like, I'm happy that Mickey won, but then I'm also like, oh, but I'm really not that happy sometimes. And I don't know. I'm like, I love Nicole. I'm glad that she's received all this support. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, but she won. Like if she had won part two, I almost think she probably would have been the winner. I think she could have taken it. But anyway, a lot of mixed emotions. I think it might be the weirdest for me.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to describe it in terms of the mixed emotions, because especially with Jackson and seeing the reaction to Jackson's win. And of course, with all of the sort of racial comments that were discussed at the finale and of course happened during the season, just so much controversy where I feel so torn, where I can appreciate Jackson's gameplay, but also he's done a lot of horrible things. And you have like crazy characters throughout this whole season, but that I'm still sort of torn about. So yeah, maybe that translates into weirdest. The other answer I was going to give actually was BB16, but that's only because the Battle of the Block was like so stupid. And I don't know, to me that makes it weird, but yeah, I think really the dichotomy between all of the different events that happened on this season has to make it weird, right? It was all over the place, it feels like.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that actually on the note of Battle of the Block, I would say that almost the consistency of the Battle of the Block makes it less weird, because Big Brother 21, you think the first 3 weeks were camp comeback, like, okay, this makes sense. We're going to end when there are four people left and then someone's going to come back into the game. Then we wait a couple weeks. Okay, there's a field trip. Okay, sure. This will sort of be like a way to vote people in who we don't like. Great, so next week must be something, right? No. Okay, I guess we're done with the twist. Wait, what is prank week? What does this person do? Why are we voting on this? Okay, when's the double eviction? Okay, it's not happening until later. And then we get extended weeks of the final five and final four. There was just so much odd stuff going on. I can't say I'm particularly mad at it all, because I think it provided some entertaining moments. But I mean, both of your points look no further than the arc of Jackson Mickey, which was, you know, pretty, you know, universally reviled for the first month of the game. Gets, you know, separated with Holly from the rest of his alliance and becomes a bit of an underdog because he's against someone like Christy, who the audience is turning against, and joining up with Cliff and Nicole, who people like. So he becomes a bit of a rootable person. Then he turns against them and, you know, ends up getting rid of Cliff and Nicole, and he becomes hated again by the time he ends up walking out of that house, especially bringing stuff to light. Liana, I know we got your opinions on the finale with regards to them addressing not even just Jackson's comments, but a lot of the general ickiness of that pre-jury. pretty, I mean, as someone who has like studied, I mean, you just did two videos about finales in terms of best and worst jury speeches. What did you make of the way this finale was structured in particular?
Well, I wanted to quickly mention what you were talking about with the whole, yeah, the structure was really unique for this season. And I think it really started once I'd say the post-jury started. My theory was that all of this whole ball, just the domino effect, I think started with when Jack got evicted first. I think the producers were kind of happy. They kind of, I mean, this is just all tinfoil theory. I don't even know anything about this, but I imagine given Jack was easily the most controversial person, and I think probably the biggest pain in their, a thorn in their sides for the producers. My theory is that they might have just said, you know, maybe we don't do a battle back. Maybe, I don't know if they produced this so far ahead that they for sure have a battle back locked in, a jury battle back after the first four, because that's usually what it's been. It's pretty unique that they have it. I'm like, everyone's sort of been like, maybe in the last few years or so, we're like, no more battle backs, please. Like, it's just a little too much. Last year, Big Brother 20s didn't work. I'm like, maybe they're listening, or maybe in this case, it's just Jack was so bad that he like inspired them to not do something that I think would have not worked in the first place. And then it just sort of created a weird series of events where America's field trip was strange because it felt very reactionary. Like it felt like a slap on the wrist, and it was more of like, okay, let's punish the people that we don't like. It's like, but what if it's a cast of really likable people where we don't want anyone to, you know, hypothetically, not that that's ever realistic, but what if like, what if it's a bunch of people that don't, we really like want to see, we don't want any of this to happen. So they're punishing them. Maybe this is like a reaction and they're not giving Jack a chance to get back. And at the same time, they're like punishing them with this weird twist. And then they sort of were really cool on the twist for a while. They cooled down, it seemed like, I think, based on my memory. And then all of a sudden the prankster showed up, which was like a weaker version of the hacker from last year. So I don't know. Ultimately, and then like the whole ending comp, like the whole schedule was pretty bizarre with the final four, final three. Just I couldn't predict it. And I actually preferred it that way. I liked being unpredictable in that sense, because I think that Big Brother has become very predictable in the modern era, at least, and maybe just in general, going all the way back to the earlier seasons. You can kind of see there's very much a pattern. They have the same comps like every week. The house guests in the season on the live feeds are just like, I know exactly, like they can already tell what comps are coming, and they already know like most of the best strategies for every single comp. So it was kind of refreshing to be like, they're on the live, it's like, when's the battle back? And they're all talking about every week, no battle back. And they're like, okay, well, this comp has got to come up. Where's that? Oh, there's no, this comp, like, why is there this endurance at the final four? That's unusual. And so for me as a super fan, I was totally like, it was sort of fulfilling the expect the unexpected. I was expecting the expected, and then it totally just superseded my expectations, which is very unusual to say for the last few years of Big Brother.
Yeah, no, you, you're expected to expect the unexpected, I believe, is the...
right, that's how it goes.
Quote, Chicken George is jockeying for the coup de dupe, or coup d'etat, as Big Jeff would pronounce it.
And then as far as the finale went, yeah, that was... I do talk about it in my review video a little bit. I was half and half, like... I understood that it was good that they were responding to a lot of the criticisms that were happening in the pre-jury, particularly in the pre-jury. And I liked that. I liked that there was emphasis on that to an extent. I still think that they're very rushed, the finales. I don't like it, even though I was like a little bit bored watching Mickey and Holly in the final two, because I felt like it was a bit of a foregone conclusion. I thought Mickey was going to win if that was the case. And initially, it was going back and forth that final week in my mind. Like, I think Holly's got it. I think Holly's got it. And I was like, oh, no, I think Mickey's got it. And then by the finale night, I was like, I think Mickey has this. I actually told my wife, I guessed the jury votes, and I got every single one of them right. So I was happy with that. Although also it was a little bit predictable. But ultimately, I think that the finales need just a little bit more time for some reason. I think that they need to cut like part two out of it. They already cut part one, which was... That was good, and that's what I was hoping they would do, because I think that was in the Big Brother 20. It's always been in the finale. They start with part one, or maybe I'm confusing
it. Yeah, but they kick off part one usually when they did the recap of the recap episode on Sunday.
Right, and they end the recap.
They started it, but then, yeah, they pretty much do parts one, two, and three. And I totally agree. I totally co-sign putting parts one and two in the Sunday episode. It might make, you know... Like in this case, for instance, it basically gives fans no hope for Nicole going to the end, since you would know it's Jackson and Holly going into part three. But that being said, we wouldn't have Julie Chen essentially doing hurry up offense throughout an hour and a half period, right, and rushing people along. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that having it, I'm looking at the older seasons a lot where it's a little bit more, there's more time to digest what's going on. And I enjoy watching the final two sort of, mingle for a little bit more, being able to explain their games a little bit more. I don't know if Holly would have benefited more from that, if it would have made the final two more interesting. I thought it was an all right. Like, I thought that their jury Q&A performances, as rushed as they were, I thought they actually both did pretty well. I was like trying to see where would I fit them in the top five or bottom five. I was like, no, I wouldn't put them in either. I think they're both somewhere in the middle or maybe in the upper half of as far as overall performances go. They had they had some meat to what they were saying. And I think actually Holly was able to, and from where I was standing, I was like, I don't think she played that as good of a game as she was saying, but I was totally buying what she was saying. I was almost like, maybe I would have voted for her then. The finale was okay for me. I'd say it was like, it was progress. It kind of felt like on some levels it was good. I liked not having part one in it. I wish part two was out of it too. Maybe we just jump right to part three. I wish there was more time for the final two to talk more. And then as far as the like mini reunion with the pre-jurors, they definitely gave the spotlight to the pre-jurors, which is unique. They don't get as much time, I think. But I wish there was more time to talk about that stuff and less time on. It just felt really rushed. The whole thing felt very rushed to me. And I know there was probably given like 5, 6, 7 minutes to talk about it, but I kind of wanted more. I wanted a little bit more of a conversation going. Just one off liners back.
Anyway. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think in comparison to previous years, it definitely felt less rushed to me. But that being said, I mean, I completely co-sign the idea of wanting more time with the final two, just because I always feel like now that we've moved to this live, I mean, I guess it's been several years now since Big Brother 11, but this live jury questioning format, I feel like is never as satisfying as giving the players a little bit more time to really truly explain their games. So, I would agree with you on that point.
Yeah, and I would say, looking at Jackson and Holly's performance, I agree that I think they both did a pretty solid job. I very quickly realized in all the Survivor that I've been watching that, like, final speeches / jury performances are one of the most intriguing things for me to watch in any reality show. And I feel like, maybe in the past couple of years when you had people like Paul and Tyler make pretty glaring errors in their jury speeches, despite, you know, the game that they might be playing, it didn't really seem to be the case here. That being said, you know, Holly was pretty reticent to tell me that she doesn't really believe anything really changed anybody's minds in that moment. But I will say, when it comes to trying to separate yourself from the person that everyone is linking you with the entire time, I thought she created an okay narrative. I do agree that I think, you know, maybe it wasn't exactly rushed. It felt rushed just because Julie kept giving us time limits, you know, by being like, oh, Holly only had 30 seconds, or Oh, David, sorry, you can't talk about, you know, implicit bias anymore. We have to go to this next question.
Yeah, I think a part of it was probably Holly was just talking a lot. So for me, I think I was caught off guard by what she was saying, because I was like interested in hearing more. And then I was lamenting that this was the new modern format. It's been around for the last 10 years, and that she doesn't have more time. Because I was like interested to see where she was going with a lot of it, because I think she was hitting a lot of the notes that I was noticing when I was looking at all the best approaches to the jury and how these final two and Big Brother have been handling, especially since Big Brother 11 with the modern format moving forward. And I noticed that a lot of the best ones tend to have like a couple of really strong key hooking. They just hook the jury with one or two lines that really like slam down the gavel and like, this is why you should vote for me. And I thought Holly was doing a pretty good job at presenting herself and building her case up with like this, the euphemism, even the sniper. And she explained like what she was strong at with the social game and creating relationships early on. It kind of checks a lot of like the buzzwords that I think a lot of juries do like to hear. I wish she still tried to maintain like this connection with Mickey. It was a little too strong. I think she could have like done more to go. Mickey was clearly getting shaken up as the Q&A was going on, and he was trying his best to stay as composed as he was when he went into it. But I think he was getting rattled as it kept going. And I really, really wanted her. And I was like, I put on Twitter, I was like, go for the jugular, Holly. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to crush him. Put your foot on his throat and just get the $500,000, make the move. And then tomorrow you can apologize to him. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with them in the future, but you walk out with $500,000 richer. That's what you want. So I thought Holly did. I was more impressed with hers. Probably because I had lower expectations, but right. yeah, I just wish, I kind of wish one more time. She kept going on, kind of like I'm going on now. She kept going on, and I wish that...
Radium, I told you we had 1 minute during this break before we recorded.
I just, yeah, I was really, I was intrigued by her speech. I wish she had kept going, and it was just interesting to hear, or a little aggravating to hear Julie constantly be like, all right, Holly, you got to stop. And then be like, okay, stop. Like, we're going to the next part. It's like, all right.
No, actually, Julie, in that moment when she was like talking about, okay, so we don't have any time left. Please wrap it up. But it felt like she was spending so much time telling them they didn't have time. Like, it reminded me of Perd Hapley from Parks and Recreation during the debate where it's like, I have an update on your time remaining and you have 10 seconds remaining on your time that is left.
Like, right. Like, yeah, we have an update on your time. And that update is you have no time.
Exactly.
And she takes like the 5 to 10 seconds. Yeah.
Well, we can certainly get into a lot of stuff that happened not only in the finale, but during the final five onwards as well. As we start here with our various segments and games, and let's start by finishing off our pre-season predictions. Only 5 house guests left, and we are here to talk about how Liana and I thought they would do preseason. We actually have comic book names to go off of now to compare. I don't think any of them measured up to hashtag horse, but you know what? A man can dream. Liana, let's start with Tommy. How did you think Tommy was going to do preseason? He seemed to be, everyone seemed to be pretty high on him. Were you similar?
Yeah. So, you know, Mike and I were sitting next to each other at the live show and I like whispered over it. I was like, spoiler alert, Tommy was my winner pick. So spoiler alert, Tommy was my winner pick. What I wrote about him was that he would be most likely to throw comps early. Will run the game behind the scenes and will strongly benefit from his relationship with Christy. And for his BB comic, I had the tiny dancer in parentheses, hold me closer.
Oh, no. Well, I think that Nick would probably have the opposite message imparted to him. And in that conversation, when Liana whispered that Tommy was her winner pick, I whispered back, me too. For the second Big Brother season in a row, Liana and I have had the same winner pick.
Who did you guys have for Big Brother 20?
We had Tyler.
Mm. Oh, nice. All right.
We've had like an okay track record. I think we've done better. It's a smaller sample size. I think we've done better with Big Brother than Survivor. Mm-hmm. But so I said that Tommy was going to win at least 4 competitions where he drops into a split or a toe tap in celebration. I said his fans will be the most annoying on Twitter due to his Broadway following. I said he'll succeed in JC's strategy of cooking big Italian meals to make everyone fat. And I said he'd freak out the most when Jeff/Rachel/Paul/Tangela/whoever comes into the house to guest or host a competition. And his superhero name was either Broadway Bracco or Tommy the Mommy.
Is that just based on rhyming or do you think that was motivated by something else?
Well, I think it was, remember he wanted to be the house mother. Yes. Like that was his strategy going in.
Okay, yeah.
So imagine him in like a Strega Nona, like, you know, like a head wrap and like curly gray hair. I could see it happening.
I see.
All right. So Peridium, it is your call. Which one of our 2 winner picks here was the more accurate one for Tommy?
I'll say also that when I was looking at the winner picks, I also had Tommy as my winner pick going in. So you guys are much similar company here. And I also picked Tyler from Big Brother 20. So we are all on the same page.
The simpatico.
I will say that I was a little bit more obsessed with Liana's. I liked what you said. You pretty much said exactly what I was thinking. If I was to do what you like, if I was taking part in writing pre-jury stuff or preseason stuff, I think I would have written exactly what you said. His comic was the Flash Mobster, which sounded pretty similar to what you had. And yeah, I'm going to give it to you, Liana.
Sweet.
All right, let's move on to the returnee. Did not come through in the battle back, but he did come through in a buyback. He was able to survive our oldest house guest this season. Mr. Cliff Hogg, the Hogg father. I'll start with Cliff here. I had him making the jury. I said he would be nominated the first week, but he survived since people feel they could use him as a pawn. I said he'd wipe out a bunch during competitions. I said he'd be the most game to make puns in the diary room. And I said he'd make the top 3 for America's Favorite Player. And his superhero name was the Oil Baron.
You wrote a lot for Cliff. Did you just feel like there was so much to work with there?
Yeah, I think he fills a certain archetype in Big Brother that, you know, you have a lot to work with in terms of, like, they're going to do a lot with him no matter how long he lasts. And I don't know, I just got a certain impression from it, and it appears people did as well, considering that they kept him around for as long as they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely stuck out as amongst this cast, I think. So there's definitely a lot to work with.
Okay, so I was a little less optimistic about Cliff's chances. So I actually had pre-jury. I said that he will be a fan favorite for the few weeks he's on the show. We'll talk about wanting to win competitions, but won't be able to win competitions. We'll be in an alliance with Ovi. I don't know why I thought that, but I'm happy about that one. And yeah, then nice. BB comic name was Boss Hog because I'm creative.
I wasn't too far off.
Turning him into a weird, like, furry combination with the groundhog.
Yeah, that was so weird.
Yeah, I didn't really understand the connections. It says, if you see his shadow, run.
Was that on? That was on the comic?
That was actually, that was the line on the comic.
Oh, that's weird. Does that have to do with anything?
I don't know. I couldn't understand the
Groundhog Day is, you know, no, see his shadow.
I mean, no, I know that, but I just didn't know if there was any other association with Cliff specifically.
Also, his last name is 2 G's, and they only used 1 G. Obviously, it's how you spell groundhog. I thought it would have been better if they include 2 G's there.
Wait, they didn't even put a second G in there?
Nope, it's just 1 G. I'm looking at it.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, it's interesting because technically Cliff was both pre-jury and post-jury.
Yes, exactly.
So you guys kind of, you know, divided and conquered with that one. You did get that he was in an alliance with Ovi, which was right. He was in the top three America's Favorite Player. He was very liked. I think he might have been at his most liked up until he got busted with his Cliff Notes. So early on, he was definitely a fan favorite. I think I'm going to give it to Mike in this one. I think you've made more. I agree with more of what you had to say there. And he did go quite the distance, almost won the season. So he didn't win competitions. I don't think he was going to be able to. So, yep.
It'll be very interesting to see both how casting and the contestants look at the older man archetype now that someone has sort of, I guess, quote unquote, broken the curse. And, like, to your point, not even made it far, but, you know, was a couple moves away from nearly winning the game. You know, I feel like someone like Kevin in Big Brother 19 certainly went the distance, but I don't know if he necessarily had the wherewithal to actually get the win at the end. But I wonder if that's going to change, you know, if knock on wood, did they cast older people or will people say, let's get this old person out quickly because they might pull a Cliff and pull it out at the end?
It might be less trusting because that was his key focal point in his strategy was you got to trust me, I'm the old guy. And everyone did. And then it cost a lot of them.
But I mean, he was also evicted pre-jury. So,
yeah, right, there you go. Like,
he's back because he beasted that competition. But yeah, he was evicted pre-jury. So it's just like, remember that.
Yep.
All right, well, let's move on to our Lord and Savior, our Queen, Nicole Anthony. Liana, how did you think Nicole was going to do preseason?
Okay, so I said Nicole would make the jury, and I said that she will channel Rockstar on the feeds. She will also do arts and crafts projects, in parentheses, Pegasus drawings. She will get voted out sixth place. I don't know why I was so specific.
Wow,
there.
You went super specific. You went very like Mike Bloom with your predictions.
I know, that was super weird. And then her BB comic was the Pegasus.
I was less bullish on Nicole or less unicornish. I had her going out pre-jury. I actually wrote literally goes out in the Bronte spot in a similar manner. So like totally quirky, underestimated girl who just happens to get nominated and maybe due to two other people or one other person on the block that can be more useful than her gets evicted. Almost like when Cliff ended up getting evicted over her, that exact reasoning. I said she'd be part of a few quirky antics that weird out the other house guests. I said she'd wear at least one costume that she then incorporates into her regular wardrobe, and she does a lot of singing on the feeds. And her superhero name is Time Out the Toddler Tamer.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
Oh, because she's a kindergarten teacher, right?
Yeah, she's a preschool aide.
Okay, yes. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, it was interesting. They called her Nicolossus was her BB comic name.
For some reason, I thought it was, maybe I'm thinking of her Instagram, that it was just Strong Island, but I think that was part of the tagline.
It does say greetings
right?
from Strong Island on it, so you might not too far off. Huh. I would probably give this one to Liana. Simply because Nicole went much further. And I wouldn't say she was much of a rock star type, And she didn't really have any costumes that she incorporated into her outfits, I don't think. She did arts and crafts. That was one of her big things. That was like one of the biggest things, her doing all her wacky little arts and crafts in the house, running around with those. So yeah, I'm going to give it to Liana, 2-1.
I remember not feeling high on Nicole going into the season.
I don't think a lot of people did. I mean, she was last on the RHAP draft.
Right. And I think that that was a feeling I think that was shared by, you know, by a lot of people. So it's actually really interesting to see her trajectory over the course of the season, and especially to see her become a fan favorite. And of course, you know, win America's Favorite Player in the end. So that's like, it's kind of a really cool, almost success story, I guess, for Nicole.
Yeah, in the preseason, I didn't have her very high. I sort of looked at her like a Bronte type, like Mike said. And I mean, I'm looking at Joker's update. She was at the bottom of the poll in the preseason, too, at one point. So I don't think a lot of us, like a lot of people, didn't have her too highly at that point. I don't think it was. I remember she said like she was not a big fan of bullying, but then she was like, my number one favorite was Paul.
I think that's what it was. Really, it was that, and also the locked my parents in the basement thing. Like, Nicole turned out to be like the complete opposite personality to that. But I feel like when you hear that, and that's one of only a few sound bites you get from someone, you're like,
right,
you're a little unhinged. I don't know how you'll do in the house.
All right. And then she told the story, I think, post-season.
Yeah, in the interview.
I don't remember. And I actually was like, found it way more charming because I knew her so much better. And I was like, wow, that's how it works, isn't it?
Yeah, it was that she wouldn't show, or her parents like wouldn't tell her what's in the bag or something. She still doesn't know what's in the bag. So I'm really hoping that Taryn can really get to the bottom of that, because I really want to know.
That's the one thing we need from the deep dive, personally.
Right.
Let's move on to our runner up here, Holly Allen, 31, Wyoming, and see how she did. So I had Holly making finale night.
Mm.
I said that Holly would get nominated at least 3 times. I said she'd get a segment about ranch facts, where she talked about her upbringing. I said she'd win at least 1 HOH. And I said that she'd be the first to leave her current job when the season ends. That remains to be seen. And her superhero name was Ranch Hand, parentheses, double entendre, because she'll also get covered in ranch during a salad-inspired endurance HOH.
Oh man, didn't that happen because of Cliff's the tossing salad before the wife joke?
Oh wait,
there was a salad.
Yes, it was the ball catching thing.
Yeah, they like got salad tossed at them, right? Did she get ranch poured on her?
God.
I don't think so.
She could have been ranch hand. It was the role she was born to play.
So close. The most accurate prediction all season. Okay, so I had Holly making the jury. I said that she will form an alliance with Kat and Christy, but that alliance will be completely ineffective. Will go in a double eviction because she's a good, boring consensus boot. And I had her BB comic name as the Safari Savant.
I think I'm going to give it to, you had a really strong point right out of the gate, Mike. I'm going to give it to you for just, you pegged her going into the finale, which is pretty good. She was there. She was a bit of an insignificant character throughout the season, so I could have seen her going out in a double eviction in some alternate universe. She maybe even could have, I guess, if, say, Tommy had won the double at the final 6 and Jackson won the veto, maybe. But either way, yeah, I'm going to give it to Mike with this one.
All right. It's all tied up as we move into the one and only Jackson Mickey. Our BB winner, obviously neither mine nor Liana's nor Peridium's winner. But Liana, how did you feel Jackson would do preseason?
Okay, so I had Jackson making the jury. I said that he will be Winston 2.0 in his intro packages and will kiss his gun. He will let paranoia get to him in his attempts to build a big alliance, a.k.a. C. Devin for BB16. Will be a very emotional player and make a lot of emotional decisions. And his BB comic name is Hip to Be Square.
Oh, so Liana, you and I are on such the same page, because I also had him going jury. I also wrote he gets the Winston Award for most intense stare and pitching skills. I said he'd get nominated for being perceived as physical, even though he hasn't actually won anything. And I said his superhero name would be Traxon, but it's just him running.
I also imagine him in a tracksuit also, for some reason, in this comic.
So between the two of you, you guys are pretty similar. This is really coming down to the wire here.
I don't know why we both thought Jackson was so similar to Winston.
I mean, he did have a gun in his intro, you know, like he was going to be that guy. I feel like he was more apparent as like who Winston was once after episode one, whereas in the preseason Winston, I think I just remember everyone was so blindsided by all that. Mickey was a little bit more predictable to me. He kind of played what I thought he would do, and he didn't really deter too much. He definitely, I wouldn't say wasn't, I don't want to say he definitely wasn't emotional. He had some moments where he was emotional, but I feel like he was definitely more stone cold than most of the people this season. So, gosh, I want to just cut the point in half or something. Dr. Jackson and Mickey Hyde, give one to Jackson, one Jackson
yeah,
to you,
know
Mike.
Let's do it. I'll take Jackson. You want Mickey? Leona?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you can be Jackson and I'll take the Mickey point here. I like that.
Amazing.
There you
All
go.
Right. Congratulations wow. to the both of us.
Wow. Yeah, everybody wins.
Well, it kind of makes sense also. Like, we had the same winner pick, you know, kind of in lockstep. So, I think this is a fair outcome.
We've been divergent on Survivor. So, I think that just seems to be our trend that Survivor, we're on completely separate pages, but we're totally in the same book here when it comes to BB.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't we both though have Morgan as our winner for
yes there was that one time that we both picked Morgan and Ricky and I think that was sort of our curse that we're like okay we're done being on the same page now we're going in completely different directions
Morgan she was actually pretty underrated. I remember I made a joke in one of my videos the week before she got voted out where I made the last clip I used in the video the week before her elimination was of Morgan from Kagyan getting voted out. And I ended the video with that because I was joking about her getting Jacob gave her the advantage or gave her the information and then she got voted out and I joked about it. And then all of a sudden she got voted out the next week. And I was just like, oh, my gosh, what the
you
heck?
Cursed her.
You owe Morgan Ricky $1 million, Birdie.
I think
you're the
I might.
One.
So. I feel so bad.
Oh, man.
Before we move on to more fun and games, we're going to take a quick break to listen to a word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
And we are back, so let's keep on keeping on.
Okay, so I think, you know, it's been really fun to see everybody's trajectories over the course of the season. And so we're going to sort of stick in a similar theme. I want to talk about the final part of the HOH competition and the little videos of the jury during this time. So I know most people were focused on what was being said in the videos. I was just watching weird stuff that was happening in the background. So I want to talk about just, you know, some of the things that were maybe a little behind the scenes, if you will, during these videos. So the way this is going to work is I'm going to essentially ask a question that has a numerical answer, and we'll just go back and forth and you know what? We'll do it where you each pick a number. So honor system. And then whoever is closest, no, like without going over, just whoever is closest, we'll get the point.
Tiebreaker style.
Exactly. All right. So let's just go ahead and dig right into this. So this is all about Kat's video. So how many pictures of Brett were behind Kat in her video? So, each of you can think of a number. And then, Mike, when you're ready, we'll start with you.
All right. I'm going to say I feel like there were three things behind her, but I don't think Brett was all the pictures. I'm pretty sure one of them was like a heart that she'd made in one of those jury Instagram things and not the head that she ripped off of somebody. I can't remember at this point. I'm going to say there was, I'm going to say there were two pictures of Brent.
Okay, Pretium, what do you think?
Okay, so are we allowed to have the same answer or not the same answer?
Yeah, you're allowed to, if that's what you put down.
Okay. Okay, I was thinking too, I remember seeing him doing his jury, or when he was on the block, and he was doing that weird speech where he started yelling. I remember seeing that, and I don't know if there was two more. There was one on the left. I think there was one on the right. So I think I'm going to stick with two. I don't remember what the second one was, but I do remember seeing him doing that weird yell where he was standing up during his speech.
All right, so we're starting off much like Holly versus Jackson in this competition. You both get it correct. There were two pictures of Brett, and Mike, you were right. The other one was the heart, Cat Hearts Brett sign that was in the background. Okay, so let's move on. Jack's video. So I talked about this on the finale podcast, but I was obsessed with the fact that the production was like blowing wind at Jack. Yeah. And it wasn't in a sexy way, you know, like a Jason Momoa type way. No, it was like sideways blowing his hair in front of his face, which I just thought was so bizarre. So the question here is, how many times did Jack push hair out of his face during his like 20 second video?
I was thinking, like, what would you do? Because I do recall Jax just being him, like, in a forest and just not having the fan blow the right way. Just like,
It was so weird too, because like you put him in a windy forest. Like, why?
Yeah, you know, those forests are the most windy things of all. They're basically hurricanes can be formed there in the coniferous trees.
I really didn't get it. Okay, Pretium, what do you think?
Oh boy. I guess I'll say three.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a bit more bullish. I'm going to go with five times we got the hair tussle.
Okay, so Pretium, three was correct, so you get a point here. But
you're right on the money.
I did think it was much more because I just remember him constantly doing it. Apparently it was only three times. Okay, so the next question is about Tommy's video. So this was super weird because he wasn't writing a letter, which
wasn't he just like staring off into the distance?
Yeah, it was like him weirdly fantasizing about the season, making some uncomfortable facial expressions. So that was a very odd production choice. But this question is about what percent of the time was Tommy's eyes closed as he fantasized about the season during this video. So again, still a numerical answer, but a percent of the amount of time. So I'll give you guys a second to think about this, but Mike, you will kick us off.
All right, I'm gonna say 30%. I feel like Tommy is someone who, while he is dramatic, is not gonna have his eyes closed most of the time. He wants to be big and expressive, so I'm gonna be a bit conservative here and say his eyes were closed only 30% of the time.
Okay, Pretium, what do you think?
So if it's whoever's closer without going over, or just whoever's closest. Okay, I'm gonna say 25. I think it might be even less. Even though he's definitely somebody who, I remember seeing that too. I was just like, what is it? Like, this is, I think that was what encouraged me to start tweet out that I would rather get evicted pre-jury than have to do this. I'd have to make the finale and the final three or go pre-jury because I cannot be in these videos. So I'm going to say 25%, but I feel like it could very well be higher.
Would you rather lose and have to be a part of these weird jury things, or would you rather win and not have to do it?
Oh boy. I will go in third if it has to. I'll go to third place.
That's sweet spot of you. You definitely missed it, so you don't have to do these weird videos. So Mike, you were closer. It was actually 36% of the time.
Ooh,
yeah. Okay. So you're both pretty close though, given the range.
Wow. That might be the most useless trivia I will ever know in my whole life. Yeah. I'm very happy to know it.
No,
though.
I mean, you know, there are times when I'm putting together games where I take a step back and I'm like, what ridiculousness am I doing right now? Me sitting with my phone timing Tommy's eyes, like, oh, he closed his eyes. Okay, start the timer. Oh, I opened up, stop the timer.
Yeah, I want to just, I appreciate you doing that. This is the stuff that I'm here for.
All right, so let's move on to the next question, which is also pretty silly. This is about Sis's video. How many chickens were behind Sis in her video? So I had to watch this multiple times to try to figure it out, because sometimes the chickens go in and out of frame. So I picked the frame when there were the most chickens that I could see. I don't know if that helps or hurts.
So what was the maximum capacity of chickens on the screen at once?
Were they different chickens, or were they the same chicken and they just happened to be walking back and forth?
They were definitely different. So this is independent, distinct chickens.
Just in general, how many distinct chickens walked behind Sis in the background?
Yes, I think that's what I quantified.
We're not counting her as a chicken.
No, and Sis in her costume does not count.
Also, I feel horrible that everyone else seemed to be wearing regular clothes and she had to get that damn chicken outfit back on.
That's all they know about her. All right, so Pretium, we'll start with you. What do you think?
And they say the chickens and the details. I appreciate that she was the only one there in the costume. It was the most memorable thing she had going for, I think. I would say there were, I'll say six.
Okay, Mike, what do you think?
I'm going to try to count my chickens before they appear on screen. I'm going to go with four.
Okay, so there were 13.
What?
Yeah. So I saw like four when I first watched it, four or five or something like that.
I barely remember there being any.
Okay, so there were chickens in sort of like three different areas of her video. So there's like some in the foreground, some like sort of middle, and then like some way in the background, like by the abandoned cabin or whatever she was sitting in front of. But yeah, there were 13. So this point goes to Peridium.
Wow.
There were 13 chickens?
There were 13 chickens. That must have been Dang. Some really fun, like, stock footage that someone had to find for this, for sure. Okay, so our next question is about Christie's video. How many inflatable pool toys are in the background of her video? So, Mike, we will start with you.
God. All right. Well, I'm depending on the same number as chickens, it might be like 25. All I remember about Christie is that she was doing a very nice yoga hold pose, which is interesting because like you forget how she was sort of like this very mystical boutique owner coming into the season. And that sort of got lost amongst all the other Christie stuff that happened. Manifest aside, I'll say five. Five pool toys behind Christie as she's doing her yoga pose.
Okay, Pretium, what do you think?
So I don't remember there being any. I remember she's in like a campground, I think, doing yoga. But I was like, a pool toy? Gosh. So, Mike, what'd you say? You said five?
I said five.
All right, I'm going to say four, just to go lower.
Okay, so there was only one. So pretty, we get the point here. So I originally went in thinking, oh, I'll do how many tents are in the background, because that's also all I remembered was the tents. Right. But as I was watching, I was like, is that a giant inflatable killer whale? You know, like one of the ones with the handles that you can ride in the pool. And so as soon as I saw that, I was like, well, that's super weird. So of course I have to make that the question. Okay, so congratulations, Pretium. You're the winner of this quiz. I tried to come up with ones for like Nick. It was super boring. He was just sitting in front of a campfire, so there was nothing exciting there.
Oh, surprise, surprise. Nick did not have an exciting video that was forcing him to bring out his personality.
No, exactly. The most interesting thing I could come up with was how many pockets does Nick's shirt have? It has one. Just so dumb. It's like, okay, never mind. I won't do everybody. I'll just do a subset of people.
I also like that Eclipse was not, I mean, it's really interesting they brought up the memory wall stuff, but I kind of felt bad that everyone else was like, this happened to me. And Cliff was like, my picture was below Catherine's on the memory wall. Like, he did a lot in the game. Give him some commendations.
Yeah, it was.
Right. Didn't he also, like, he wore glasses or something? Or his picture didn't have glasses in it?
My picture had glasses. And then, yeah, like, basically, when you're making people play Guess Who instead of talking about what you did at the game, you know it's unfortunate for you.
Yeah, which was so silly because, yeah, he had a lot of game-related, you know, things that he did. So, yeah, very, very odd.
Yeah, much more than the Sis and her 13 chickens.
Yeah. Oh, man, that was so funny.
All right. So, Peridium, I know the last time you were here, you surprised us with a game, and we are living up to Chicken George, one of Sis's 13 chicken relatives, and we are expecting the unexpected here. I believe you have brought that game back for us, Big Brother style.
I did, yes. Of course. I had so much fun doing it last time. For Survivor Edge of Extinction, I tried to put together this Family Feud Fast Money game, and I thought it was really good. I actually really enjoyed it a lot. I think you guys did. So I thought, you know what? Let's do it again. Let's do it one more time. And that happened actually before the season ended. Now we have one with the season over. So we have the cumulative opinion, the aggregate opinion of all of my YouTube channel followers that responded. And I went ahead, I asked on my YouTube channel for people's answers to five questions about Big Brother 21. I pulled their answers, took the first 100 that responded over, or about, I think there's about 900 total right now, which is ridiculous. And I decided to try and put them into this Family Feud Fast Money game. So I can explain the rules, or should I explain the rules first?
Yeah, why don't you explain it for those that are uninitiated, that are, we're too busy checking out Big Brother all summer, that they weren't watching their ABC Family Game Night and checking out Steve Harvey on the Family Feud.
So basically, in the Family Feud Fast Money game, or should we say the Big Brother Fast Feud Money game, this is going to have five questions asked to both Mike and Liana separately. They're, one of them is going to step away from the microphone, take off their headphones, or, you know, do whatever they have to do. I'm going to ask five questions to each of them. Their objective is to try to find the most popular answer that was given to me from my YouTube followers. So, for example, if I said, well, who was your favorite player this season? They're trying to figure out, or who was my YouTube channel's favorite player this season? They want to figure out the number one and eventually number two answers. They will accrue points for their answers. The if they pick the more popular answers, they'll get more points. The objective is to get to 200 total points between both Michael and Yana. And last time we did this was the Edge of Extinction, and you guys narrowly beat the game. You were very, I don't know if you guys remember, you were really close to not beating it. Do you guys remember how close it was?
Yeah, I think it came down to like the last question and we barely got over the edge.
Yeah,
it did. Yeah, it was the last question, the last answer, and you guys had, out of 200 points, you had 203
Ooh.
points.
Oh my god.
So that was, I remember making it thinking like, I have no idea, this could be completely broken, this game could be completely imbalanced, and it'll be like incredibly hard to find, like incredibly hard for you guys to win, or it could be like the easiest thing in the world, I don't know. So I was both happy to see that it was sort of the best of both worlds, where I think it was pretty difficult but also good enough that you guys excelled at it and managed to beat it. So I don't know, we'll see what happens this time.
I was gonna say, yeah, I don't have high hopes for the Big Brother version, but we'll see. I'm here to play.
Well, I'll step away first, so I'll let Liana go, because I think I went first last time. So just,
you did, Mike, you did.
Just ping me in the chat when you're ready to have me back. I'm going to go listen to my HOH headphones and dance around.
All right, sounds good. Bye, Mike.
All right, so yes. Liana, with Mike off stage, I'm going to ask you five questions. We'll have about 20 seconds. We're not really, nobody's really timing us for the most part. If you can't think of an answer, which I would be incredibly surprised by, you can say pass. And yeah, if you and Mike can come up with 200 points after the both of you go, you'll get that confetti on your shoulders. All right. You
yes,
ready to
let's
go?
Let's do this thing.
All right. We'll put 20 seconds on the proverbial clock. All right. So question number one is going to be, name the player YouTube said was their favorite for Big Brother 21. Okay. Name the Big Brother 21 twist YouTube said was their favorite.
Ooh, the field trip.
Okay. Other than Jackson, tell me the player YouTube said played the best game this season.
Tommy.
Okay. On a scale from 1 to 10, give me the score YouTube rated Big Brother 21.
Ooh, 6.
Lastly, name the Big Brother 21 player YouTube believes is most likely to return for an All-Stars 2.
Cliff.
All right. Easy Ooh. Enough.
Oh, man. All right. Let's bring Mike back, I guess. see if we can recreate some of the magic from Survivor. Yeah, this is a good.
There's no magic.
Ah,
here.
Okay. Well.
So I guess, Liana, you can stick around for this since you already know the questions and all that.
Sounds good.
Okay, so Mike, Liana just went. We'll reveal both your guys' answers after you both go. So, are you ready to go, Mike? We're going to give you about 25 seconds on the clock, proverbial clock.
Oh, that's like half a nick. I'm ready to go.
All right, so question number one. Name the player YouTube said was their favorite for Big Brother 21.
Nicole.
Need another answer.
Cliff.
Okay. Name the Big Brother 21 twist that YouTube said was their favorite.
Double Eviction.
Okay. Other than Jackson, tell me the player YouTube said played the best game this season.
Tommy.
Need another answer.
Nicole.
Okay. On a scale from 1 to 10, give me the score YouTube rated Big Brother 21.
6.
Need another answer.
7.
Last question. Name the Big Brother 21 player YouTube believes is most likely to return for an All-Stars 2.
Christy.
All right. There you go. Ooh. 5 answers. You had a lot of similar ones to
I don't know what it is about Liana. Big Brother Liana. We're both drinking the same Kool-Aid.
Apparently. Yeah, I think it was the same flavor that Paul made in the house.
Could you use an adjective to describe it?
Tall. No, what was it? Can you describe a noun?
She said physical or something. She used a noun to describe him.
No, I loved it when she was like, a noun is a person, place, or thing. Great job, sis.
Okay, so we can sort of just tabulate the points as we go along with these questions, and I'll reveal both your answers for each question, 1 through 5. I did do the math, and I figured out that, we'll go through each question, and I'll let you know what my thoughts were.
It doesn't sound very hopeful. No.
I was trying to make sure that the game wasn't broken or impossible to win, and at the same time, I didn't want to make it so easy that you guys would win by, like, I don't know, question 2. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so for question number 1, it was, name the player YouTube said was their favorite for Big Brother 21. Liana, you said Nicole. And Mike, did you say Nicole?
I said Nicole at first, and then I said Claire.
Yeah, I figured that would be the case. So Nicole was, in fact, the number 1 answer. Not surprised. She was worth 41 Ooh. Points, which is an insane amount. Mathematically, you want to get about 40 points per question. So you've already, everything else after this is gravy. Cliff was the number 3 answer. He was worth 12 points.
What?
Number 2, Kemi?
No, Kemi was actually not number 2. Kemi was number, 6. I know, I was going to ask, who do you guys think would be number 2 if it wasn't Nicole or Cliff?
Maybe Christy, if they're going for like the train wreck factor of it all?
Nope, Christy was actually right after Kemi.
Is it Tommy?
Nope, Tommy was right after Cliff. I know, right? Well, I didn't see this
Sam?
Coming either.
I have no idea.
No. So I'll say Ovi, so 5 people didn't get a single mention, sadly, and Ovi was one of them.
Gone Aww. Too soon.
Yeah. The other 4 were Bella, Jack, Sis, and Nick.
Yeah.
So he's in good company.
Was it Jess the number 2?
Jess was not. Nope. Jess was, she got God. 1 person. Right? This is crazy.
You know what? Is it Kat?
It's not. What? Kat was right after Tommy at number 5. You guys are going down the whole roster.
Yeah, I can't believe this. This is crazy.
So do you want me to give it to you now? At this point,
we're just going to guess the rest of the cast.
There's only 3. There's literally only 3 people, I think, left that you haven't said. One of them was the first boot, David. It's not David. The other 2 were the final 2. It was Jackson.
Jackson.
Wow.
Jackson was number 2 with 13%.
That's crazy, especially since you did this survey like right after the season, right?
I did it over this past weekend.
Wow. You would think, given what happened in the finale, given how much people were like, yes, we got our pound of flesh from Jackson, maybe they were happy about that. But I don't know. He was painted in such a negative light despite his win.
I think with the online community, there are some Jackson sympathizers who weren't fully 1-1 sync with what was shown on the live feeds versus the episodes. So for them, they probably were a little bit blindsided. Maybe they feel bad for Jackson or something. Maybe they want to forgive Jackson. I don't know. I mean, to say he's your favorite, though, is a pretty big stretch. I couldn't imagine putting him as my favorite, but
Actually, I have a little bit of insight on that because I was putting together a Casuals Corner game that we're going to play. And there were definitely a lot of comments that were, I can't believe that CBS would do that to Jackson, you know, what did he do to deserve that, blah blah blah. So I can definitely understand where 13% of people would come from thinking that, you know, or having him as their favorite.
Right. Well, the good news is you guys are sitting pretty after 1 question with 53 points. You're over a quarter of the way there to 200. So we'll go on to question number 2, which was sort of the random question. I couldn't think. I had 4 that were pretty easy, and I was like, what do I do for a 5th one? I'm like, okay, let's talk about twists. So this was, name the Big Brother 21 twist that YouTube said was their favorite. Now, Liana, you went first. Yeah, I know, right? So I was interested to see what people were going to say and if there was going to be like a runaway winner or something. Liana, you said the field trip, America's mm-hmm. field trip. And that was actually number three with 23 points. So actually a decent amount. Yeah, not so bad. Mike, you said, what did you say? You said the double eviction.
Does that even count?
Which was one of those. So that was one of those interesting ones where it's like, technically, I guess it's a twist because I've called it a twist in the past. But it actually was worth 3 points.
Oh, great.
Good job, Mike.
Hooray.
So I went ahead and decided to not skirt around. Some people leave lots of random answers. Sometimes they'll fill out 4 to 5 answers, or they love to leave multiple names. So like, who's your favorite? And they list like half the cast. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I just go with whoever they put first, because I'm like, that was the person at the front of their mind. So a lot of times people, like for this example, they didn't like a lot of the twists. So in this case, I took some of the jokey answers and included them because why not? They're only worth like 1 or 2 points. Do you guys have any idea what might have been America's field trip was number three. Do you guys have any idea what might be number one or number two?
I feel like it's like none of them number one or something.
That's exactly.
Should have assumed the sarcasm on the internet. Yep. Should have given it to me.
So I was initially going to name this question, going to make it say, including none of them, name the Big Brother 21 twist that YouTube said was, and then I decided to get rid of it because I'm like, that's too easy. But number one answer was none of them for 31 points.
Yeah, that makes sense. Was it America's Prankster?
I guess number two was the Prank Week, yeah.
No, Prankster was actually at number four with only 4 points. It was a huge drop off after America's Field Trip.
The Wacktivity competition.
Oh yeah, I forgot about the Wacktivity.
No, that only got one. It was worth one point.
Wow, that got even less than double eviction. The twist that might not be a twist. Is it Camp Comeback?
It is Camp Comeback. I think it was so remembered that people just by default put it in. It got 30 points.
Oh wow, I guess almost as much as none of them. I guess it's because it allowed us to like watch the people that we liked more, but I feel like there was so much bad stuff that happened almost as a result of Camp Comeback. The bad outweighs the good.
Yeah, I mean, that was my thought, actually, because I thought of Camp Comeback and I was like, oh, no, you know, I had a lot of controversy, or at least that's what I remember. But yeah, that's a good point. Also, you know, if you're trying to think of twists, that's the one that lasted the longest. So maybe you're more likely to remember that. So but yeah, none of the above is great.
Yeah, I totally forgot about the activity competition.
I think people have stronger memories when they're in pain. Yes. And I think Camp Comeback was very much a month long, unfun camp. So so we can go to number three. You guys got 26 points after question two on top of your 53 points. So we can just sort of slowly do the math as we get down to questions. But that'll be sitting you guys at 79 total, which is actually pretty good. It's about where you would want to be. Number three, question three was, other than Jackson, I figured most people would say Jackson, or he'd be a runaway, easy, obvious, who played the best game this season. So I decided to say, okay, outside of Jackson, who do you guys think? And Liana, you said Tommy, and Tommy was a pretty good answer. He was the second most popular answer for best game other than the winner. He was worth 24 points.
I'll take it.
That's pretty good. And Mike, you said Nicole played the best game.
I assume that some people like to equate popularity with good gameplay as well. So I just sort of went with that mindset.
Okay. Do you feel confident with that, or do you feel like that's going to be another double eviction?
I don't know. I actually feel pretty confident about it because she's someone who we saw up until finale night, and she was making some good moves at the end, winning competition. So I feel pretty good about it.
Okay. Well, you should feel good because that was. Let me just look clear. That was the most runaway answer of the entire survey.
What? Yes!
I made up for a double eviction!
You redeemed yourself!
That was worth 45 points.
Oh my god!
Nearly 50% of those that responded that I surveyed believe Nicole played the best game other than Jackson.
Congratulations. That's a great answer.
There you go.
I don't know if that's the case, but I'm not going to doubt the internet if it's helping us.
Exactly.
I honestly, I was like, wow, that is such a runaway answer. I wonder if you guys would maybe think it was like not good enough of an ant. Like, no, they're not going to say Nicole. And then you wouldn't get like 45 points there. But
yeah, I mean, I've been following the stock watch all season. We know how much the audience loves to equate popularity mm-hmm. with good gameplay numbers.
Yeah, true. Okay, so that netted you guys 69 nice. Points nice. For point for number three, which is huge. So you initially at 79. I'm going all the way up. All right, number four. On a scale from 1 to 10, actually, I really want to quickly go back. Let me go back one question. Number two, I had a few jokey answers that I wanted to bring up yeah. that I didn't get to bring up that I thought were really funny. And this was talking about the twists, because a lot of people didn't like the twists. And so instead of saying none of them, they gave me jokey answers that I thought were great. Like, one person said, Jess winning two comps in 1 week. That was a good twist. Hey, expect the unexpected.
That's true. I like that. It's a plot twist, more so.
Somebody, I think, was so over the moon about Nicole. They just said the best twist of the season was Nicole's existence.
Oh.
And the last one person said, letting Jackson eat in the shower.
Oh, yeah, that's so funny. Didn't he deny that when he came out of the house? He's like, I didn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He and did. Now people are trying to come after him with video evidence, which I think he's just going to keep denying until, you know, yeah. until he decides not to go on to Big Brother anymore.
Right.
Yeah, I wish he would own it. I don't know. Technically, we didn't see the food go into his mouth, but I don't know.
Either way, he's bringing food into the shower. I don't exactly know what the purpose would be if not to eat said
Well, food. He brought a cucumber into the bathroom that one time, so,
yeah,
you know.
That's true.
That's true.
Yeah. All right, so number four, question number four, on a scale from 1 to 10, give me the score YouTube rated Big Brother 21. Let's see, Liana, you said 6 mm-hmm. out of 10. So maybe just barely above average. That was actually the number one answer.
Nice.
Worth 23 Aww. Points.
All right. Well, that's fine.
Could be worse, you know. I mean, it could have been.
Could have been double eviction. Know, so you know what? I'll take
yeah.
it.
Yeah, exactly. Which I'm assuming is we'll like say. Is like would be like the one equivalent. Like if some how many people gave this season a one? Oh, well, you know.
Yeah.
People on the internet also tend to go like really one way or the other. So I'll be intrigued when all this is done to find out how many 10 votes and how many one votes there were.
True.
Somebody gave this season a Nicole out of 10, so that would have been worth 1 point if you were really high on Nicole. Just saying Nicole for every single answer, you could have done it and, you know, made a killing. But anyway, so then, okay, so that was worth 23 points. The next one was Mike. Mike, you said 7 out of 10. And yeah, assuming 6 out of 10 was the number one answer, 7 out of 10 was the number two answer for 18 points.
I assumed that maybe it would have been a bit of an uptick because Jackson, say what you want about him, but I do feel like he's one of the most unique player types to win a season of Big Brother, and he certainly was a bit flashy down the line, so I think that it's definitely very different compared to the past two finales, where it was more of like the quieter, which is weird to say about Josh, but like less flashy player one, so I think that sort of helped bolster people's opinions a bit.
Right. It's interesting, when we did this for Edge of Extinction, the top two answers were, by far and away, there were 7 and 8 out of 10, so it's interesting to see. Not a huge correlation,
but I can only imagine if you asked that question after the finale, what that number would have been.
Yeah, right, that's true. This was right after the double boot of Kelly and David, so people were a lot higher on it before that point. Yeah, I wonder if this was done after the double eviction of Big Brother 21... You know, I think that 6-7 might turn into a 7-8.
Yeah, so. I mean, though, that's the thing, and especially with 99 days, it's such a roller coaster. You know, you pull at different times during the season, you could get a huge array of answers, you know, from 9s to 1s, I'm sure, just depending on when you ask.
Yeah, and so I figured, since you brought it up, Mike, the number of people give it a 10 out of 10 or a 1 out of 10, it's actually really low. Only one person give it a 10 and one person give it a 1.
Wow.
Yeah, and 100 people.
So the same number of people gave the season a 1, a 10, and a Nicole.
Out of 10.
Yeah, and I decided to look at this survey of the first 100 people and see what their average score is out of 10, and it turned into a 5.39 out of 10, which isn't that high.
Yeah, especially compared to the number one and number two answers. I guess it's just so heavily weighted to the bottom half of the scale.
Yeah, looking at the numbers go down, number three was 5 out of 10, then 4 out of 10, then 3 out of 10. So those are the third, fourth, and fifth most popular. Eventually it gets to 8 and 9. But people were more down, especially with the ending of the season. So, number five. Question number five was, name the Big Brother 21 player YouTube believes is most likely to return for the hypothetical, mythical Pegasus All-Stars 2 season that will not come to be. Maybe this winter, who knows? Okay, so Liana, you said Cliff, and Mike, you say Christy. Now, knowing how many points we have between the last four questions, you guys are at 189.
Oh my goodness.
Means we're in a similar situation, although I will say you were in worse spot with the previous one last time, about 5 months ago. You guys were at 187 with one answer left. You're now at 189 with two answers left. So assuming you didn't totally get a double eviction on this one, you should be okay.
Ooh. Oh yeah. Okay. I for some reason I assumed that since I had gotten so many same answers as Liana, I thought Liana had said Nicole. I didn't realize you said Cliff.
Yeah, I said Cliff. I should have answered Nicole for everything. What have I done?
Yeah, you have to just believe in the faith of the super stans who just love Nicole. So Liana, you said Cliff. And Cliff was the fifth best answer out of 10 that were given. So name the Big Brother 21 player you believe is most likely to return. Cliff was at fifth out of 10 names out of the 16 that were cast. Cliff was worth
five points. Mike. What have I done?
I better hope that at least six people want to see Christy Murphy on our TV screens again.
So if Cliff was at five with 5 points, yeah, this is going to be an interesting ending.
We had it, Liana! We had it in our hands!
Why didn't we just say Nicole?
Yeah, so I can tell you right now, Nicole was in fact the number one answer by far and away. She was at 36 points. And so, okay, so you said Christy. Well, I can tell you some good news. Tommy was number two with 21 points. But number three was Christy. And she did not have 5 points. She had 21 points.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, whew.
Save the day by the last answer yet again.
Oh, my gosh. Really
cutting
it. You
have to stop doing this, Liana. My anxiety is not good for this type of game.
That puts you at a total of 216 out of 200 points. You guys now officially have confetti on your shoulders.
Oh, my gosh. And I think I look a little bit happier than Jackson. So...
Yeah, my cheeks are not as red as his were during that one commercial break when he was like furiously whispering at Holly, like, oh,
right?
What are they talking about?
I don't know.
Yeah, so
I'm pretty flustered.
I was going to say my fear going in was you guys were going to say Nicole for everything because she was at like 36 points, 45 points, 41 points. I was like, if somebody just says Nicole, they're pretty much at like 150. You could say whatever you want at that point. One person said for name the player that's going to come back. I decided to accept this answer and the answer was worth 1 point. And I don't understand. I think it was a phone typo correction. It says pretty jury.
What?
So
bring that pretty jury back.
You know, we want the pretty jury. I think they might have tried to say just the pre-jury, maybe bring the whole pre-jury back.
That makes more sense.
That was my best guess. So I was like,
the jury looked pretty good when they were when they came to finale night. Though I did notice that I was texting actually with Liana about this, that I did notice that they did not do, speaking of the rush along finale, they did not do like the each jury member walks out on stage to Raptor's applause. And part of me wonders if it's because of sort of the mixed reception of some of those jurors that they wouldn't want to risk them getting booed by walking out onto stage on finale night.
Yeah, I don't think they were going to be coming out with, you know, a lot of everyone's like, yeah, we love Jack. Yeah, Jack. Yes, sis. Yeah, Jess.
Yeah, woo.
All right.
Well, been more like,
thank you, Peridium, for bringing that game back. That's a fantastic way to get a pulse, a very interesting way to get a pulse on what people thought, especially post finale. So I'm glad we were able to pass the test as to what the pulse was on your community.
Yeah, no, it's fun for me, too, because I don't always have the best read. And this allows me to sort of assess like the people that watch my videos and come to my channel. I don't always know what they're thinking. And for me, you know, maybe I give this season like a 7 out of 10. Who knows? And they're giving it an average of 5 out of 10. I don't know who they like. And it's like, OK, well, they clearly all are on similar page. We all love Nicole and Nicole is number one pretty much. And then as far as the twists go, I was really interested to see because I'm not a big fan of twists. I've made that known this year and get a little bit of pushback from that because I think most people are pretty okay with the twist, but it's like the number one answer was none of them. And I'm like, oh, that would have been my answer if I could have said it. So it's nice to know that we're on similar pages.
Well, on that note of sort of getting the reactions to the finale and the season in general, I want to move into a next game that takes the power from the people to the people who have played Big Brother beforehand. I have culled together several tweets about the Big Brother 21 finale from previous house guests. What we're going to do is we're going to go back and forth between the two of you. Each question I'm going to read two tweets from Big Brother alumni. It is your job to tell me which one had more likes from the Twitterverse on the night of the finale. A lot of stuff flying around with that very interesting finale, and we'll see who had the hotter takes or who was just hotter in comparison to some of their Big Brother brethren.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, okay.
All right. Well, let's start with you, Liana. Because this one, we'll keep it in the RHAP family to start off. So here are your two tweets. Again, you have to pick which one has more likes. Caitlin Herman said, I feel like the Big Brother fam is like Greek life initiation. They spend up to 99 days in a house, our version of hazing, and then they come out and join an amazing community. Welcome to the club, hashtag BB21. You paid your dues, emoji of a goofy face. Versus Eric Stein, that finale, ... oof, hashtag BB21. Which one had more likes between Caitlin and Eric?
Oh, man. Okay, I think on this one, I'm going to go with Eric.
I'm sorry, it was Caitlin. Eric had 540 likes. Caitlin's had 909.
Oh, wow. Likes. Okay, yeah. I thought it was a simpler tweet that might garner more likes. But yeah, okay, all right. Now we have the Big Brother Greek system in play. That could be the theme. You know, we did camp this season. We could do Greek.
I don't know. There were so many fratty guys on this season that, like, I feel like we already got a preview.
Yeah, that's true. I'm good with that.
All right, Purdium, this next one is for you. Two Big Brother winners had very different opinions as to how the end game would come out to be. First tweet, Nicole Franzel. I right now think Holly has it. Hashtag BB21. What do you think? Versus Derek Lavasser. This is Jackson's game to lose. And if he doesn't own his game with the jury, he just might. Hashtag BB21. So, Nicole versus Derek, which tweet had more likes?
Okay. It's interesting that Derek was the one who schooled Nicole on his season. I'm going to say Derek.
That is correct. Derek had 1,400 likes on 1,400. Yeah, 1,400 likes on his tweet. Nicole had 1,100. So, it was close.
Ooh,
but it was very interesting that Nicole's like, oh, I think Holly has this. Maybe she was speaking to your point about her surprising on the jury question there.
Yeah, I think male people, I was just thinking, like, I think more people were less interested in Holly winning than, like, Nicole or Mickey. So I kind of was just thinking, if you're going to favor one side or the other, more people are probably going to go in Mickey's direction. But I don't know. Anyway.
All right, Liana, this next one's for you. I call this question, Own Your Game. Natalie Negrotti tweeted, word of advice for all Big Brother future players. Jury management is important. Some people have it and some don't. Simple as that. And it's a gif of Jack from Will and Grace who are doing like a duh gesture. Versus Josh Martinez. Goodbye messages will forever be a game changer. You are welcome. Wink emoji, fist emoji, crying laughing emoji, hashtag BB21.
So now I know both of those players have crossed over into the challenge world, but I still feel like Josh is maybe more prevalent with Big Brother, especially because he won. So I think I'm going to go with Josh here.
That is correct. And on challenge night, nonetheless, Josh was trying to keep all his plates spinning, as it were, by tweeting about both. Yes, Josh's tweet had 1,500 likes. Natalie's had 566.
Not surprised.
All right, Purdy, and we're going back to you here. And we're actually going back to Nicole Franzel. This is a conversation, actually, between two house guests. And I'm going to ask you which one had the more likes. I guess, whose side did the internet take?
Okay, Nicole, cumulatively, maybe.
Yeah, Nicole said, I feel so sad. That was not a happy finale. Heartbreak emoji, hashtag BB21. Versus Andy Heron quote tweets Nicole and says, it wasn't, but it was necessary. I think the show realized that it could forego a little happiness in order to teach valuable lessons about how some people treat others because of their race, sex, age, etc. Hashtag BB21. So between Nicole's why is this finale so womp-womp and Andy sort of rebutting that point, who do you think had more likes?
I think Andy. I think Andy's got a pretty good stir with the Twitter community. I think he knows what he's doing. Yeah, I'm going to say Andy.
You overestimate the rat floater. It was Nicole. Andy's tweet got 5,800 likes. Nicole's got 8.4. For the record, I think I agree with Andy more, but it seems that the Twitterverse maybe agree with Nicole more.
Wow, that's crazy.
It's a lot of likes, dang.
Yeah, well, I think it's similar to what you were saying before, Leon, about how there were some people. I think the thing about the finale is, like, while some of us were like, I'm glad they're bringing this up. I think some people have the image of a finale is supposed to be like a big happy ending for the season, no matter what. And this was anything but. So I think that might have thrown some people off.
That makes sense.
All right.
Yeah, fair enough.
Liana, let's go back to you here for some shout outs. Mr. Pectacular Jesse Goddard tweeted, huge congrats to hashtag BB Jackson, hashtag BB Mickey, on his amazing at CBS Big Brother win last night. What a win. What a finale. What a season. And big congrats to America's favorite HG, hashtag BB Nicole. The two HGs who said great things about me won. Coincidence? I think not. Ha ha. Hashtag BB21 at CBS.
You know, this is an instance where I'm like, Twitter needs to go back to 140 characters. This is like clearly an abuse of your tweeting power, Jesse.
So that's one versus Swaggy C. Robin Cass is literally like my best friend. I love this woman so much. Lol. That's my dog. Hashtag BB21.
Oh, man.
So it's a shout out to CBS. Extended shout out by Mr. Pectacular so much so that Julie Chen was rushing him along versus Swaggy C calling out Robin Cass.
I mean, Mr. Pectacular tweets a lot. Did he at, I don't know if this is cheating, but did he at people in his tweet?
He added CBS Big Brother and at CBS. He did not at any other account.
Okay. You know what? I'll go with Mr. Pectacular.
Sorry, it was Swaggy C. Don't underestimate the gang gang.
Darn. Those t-shirts, man. Talk about marketing.
Swaggy C got 215 likes for his Robin Cass tweet. Mr. Pectacular only got 96. To your point, Leon, it just might be the pure proliferation. What I noticed about Jesse is that he not only tweets incessantly, but also retweets his own tweets as well. So they appear twice in your timeline. Yes.
So yeah, I didn't know he tweeted so much. I very rarely have seen him on Twitter. I don't follow him. That's interesting. I didn't know that he was still even watching the show. I guess did he make an appearance in Big Brother 21?
No, I think they stopped using him in Pandora's Box. I want to say after BB. No, they used him last season, right? Because he was the one who gave Rockstar the instructions of how to make smoothies. But I feel like before that, he wasn't really on since like BB 14 when he popped out and was. I think that's when he was the Christmas version of himself.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. I do. So he does follow me on Twitter, which I would say is a humble brag, but is maybe more embarrassing at this point. So like, I don't quite know, but he's like always tweeting about Big Brother, or he's always just always tweeting. It's kind of annoying.
He's got them Twitter fingers because they're so damn bulky.
True that.
All right, let's move back to you, Peridium. This one's called Expect the Unexpected. So the first tweet is from Brett Robinson at BB20Brett. Plot twist, .. I walk into finale? Hashtag BB21. Versus Paul Abrahamian. Wow, hashtag BB21 feels like an episode of Black Mirror.
I'm going to say Brett. I actually remember seeing Brett's. I actually remember seeing both of them. I don't remember their likes. I'm going to say Brett, though. I think he's a little bit more popular.
Sorry, surprisingly, Paul got the bigger reception here with his Black Mirror comparison. He got 6,700 likes as opposed to Brett's got 2,900 likes.
Wow.
Huh.
I don't know exactly what Paul meant when he said it's an episode of Black Mirror.
Like, which one?
Also, they're being deprived of technology. It doesn't really feel like. I mean, I guess if it's someone being, you know, publicly humiliated in front of America during a reality show, maybe, but. It's an odd comparison. I will also say this is completely superfluous, but speaking of Survivor, Brett Robinson did tweet, fun fact, Aaron Meredith in Survivor was my CrossFit coach in high school.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a small world, fun crossover, I suppose.
Fun CrossFit.
That's right.
All right. Let's move on here. Back to Liana. This one's called BB13 Hates Jackson. First tweet is from Shelley Moore. Hashtag BB Mickey. Mom just kept saying, you're good to Jackson. Hashtag wow. Hashtag clueless. Versus Adam Pock. He was turning purple. Hashtag BB21 with a gif of, I think it's Bob the Tomato from VeggieTales.
Oh, God. I'll go with Shelley, I guess.
That is correct. Shelley's very curt but very angry statement about Jackson's mother got 427 likes Adam's VeggieTale comparison only got 62.
Ah, okay.
All right, back to you, Peridium. Some pre-juror love from these alumni. Meg Malley, all I have to say is Kemi is stunning, hashtag DB21, versus Jessica Graff, Ovi for president, hashtag DB21. Which one got more likes?
Gosh, I feel like I should underestimate the power of Kemi on Twitter. But let's see. Okay, wait. So Jessica Graff said Ovi, and the first person was who again?
Meg Malley. Grandma Meg.
Meg Malley. I'm going to say Jessica Graff just because of the fact that she's pretty big on social media.
That is correct. Her stumping for Ovi for president got 1.6 thousand likes. Meg's only got 538.
Mm. Okay. There you go.
I think Ovi would be an interesting presidential candidate.
Yeah. I mean, as long as he has nothing to do with Zingbot, I think then he'll be fine because we know the Zingbot controversy of his presidency. We really want to try to avoid anything associated with that.
I can imagine Ovi being like, I don't know, like a cookie in every plate. And I won't wake you up with the nightmare power. I'll be the solve to your nightmares.
Oh, man. Remember the nightmare power? Oh.
Maybe that should... Yeah, we should put that as... I'm sure people ironically put that as their favorite twist of the season.
Oh, man. The wackivity comp.
Nobody even remembered any of that stuff. Chris Christie's diamond so power relevant. Veto.
Yeah, that wasn't really... Yeah, I mean, Mike didn't even remember it as a twist, so...
I will say it was the naming of those three powers were Nightmare, Panic, and Chaos. And it was funny when we were watching it at the time. I recently moved house about 2 weeks ago. So I'm in a new place since I started recording. And I used to live on a peninsula. And for some reason, the one-way street that I lived on would have tons of emergency medical service vehicles rushing down. Firefighter trucks, just ambulances, and they would just go blazing down every time, every day. I don't know why, just at random times, and sometimes early in the morning. I was like, "How is there so much like chaos at the end of the street? I don't understand like how many people are actually down there." And my wife and I, it was a loud noise. My wife and I ended up nicknaming the street that we lived on "Nightmare, Panic, and Chaos." Just because of all the constant noise that we would get involved. It was endless. And that was definitely one of the pros for why we wanted to move.
I love it.
Well, I guess you could have said your panic power could have been for you to pick a new house. You had to redraw, right?
Yeah, right.
Oh, because that was Jack's, right? Oh, yeah. That was so stupid.
And he got two out of the three same people.
Yeah.
We follow along with Ovi's, which was the nightmare power, where I think it was they have to like move house in the middle of the night. You get up, you take your stuff, and all of a sudden there's new nominations.
Oh, that
would have
been so good.
Yeah, and then Christie's power is that she comes to you and says, "Look, I could evict you from this house right now, but you have to do what I say, or else I'll use it." And then you say, "Okay, fine, I'll do whatever you want." And then the internet really craps on you for it for a little bit.
But then it ultimately benefits your game because people trust you. So you know, I don't know.
Exactly. All right. So I'm going to finish off with a couple of questions here, and we're going to change it up a little bit. These next two questions, one for each of you, is actually going to have three tweets. And what you're going to do is order them from most liked to least liked. You're going to get 1 point if you get the first place one, and you're going to get 1 point if you get the second place. You can get a possibility of 2 points if you do all three in order. So, Liana, let's go back to you here. These are three Nicole lovers, and again, you're going to rank them in order of most liked to least liked. Big Meech tweeted, "Let Nicole go hug her parents, hashtag DB21. Danielle Reyes tweeted, "Baby girl, if you walk out tonight, don't trip Vanilla Chip. We are proud of you. You may not won but you won America's heart. Thank you for being the ray of light of this season. We got nothing but love for you, at CBS Big Brother. Hashtag BB21, hashtag BB Nicole." Finally, Alyssa Riley Slater, "Congrats to the winner of hashtag BB21, Nicole. We all love you so much, and you're trending. Girl wink face, champagne emoji, party horn emoji, hashtag BB Nicole, hashtag Big Brother winner Nicole, hashtag Big Brother Nicole, hashtag Big Brother."
Okay, that's far too many hashtags. Okay, I'm going to go with Danielle, Meech, Alyssa.
I'm going to give you 1 point. Danielle was indeed the first one. It was close between the other two. Danielle got 3.1 thousand likes for "Don't Trip Vanilla Chip." Alyssa was in second, but only with 681 likes, hashtag galore. And then Meech was in third with 635 likes.
I see.
All right, Peridium, going to you for this last one, which I like to call Who Put a Nickel in Sis? Judd Party Darty. Wow, Annalise is alive and well now, huh? Hashtag BB21. Danielle Murphy. Wow, dot, dot, dot. Wow, dot, dot, dot. Annalise is looking really, really bad to me in this roundtable speech. Not a fan of people like that. My entire view of her has changed, dot, dot, dot. Hashtag BB21, hashtag bitter, hashtag get over it. And JC, do you guys think she showered every day or not? laugh, cry emoji, tilt, cry emoji, chill, cry emoji. And this is also quote tweeting his Big Brother After Dark Orwell backyard interview with Sis, where he confronted her about the not showering thing. So between JC, Danielle Murphy, and Judd, order those tweets from most to least like.
Okay, I'm going to say JC is number one, Judd is number two, and Danielle Murphy is number three.
That is correct. Ooh. You are on the money, sir. JC's tweet got 737 likes, Judd got 205 likes, and Danielle Murphy got 112 likes. But they all had the same feeling about Annalise and where the hell she came from in that round table.
I just quick tangent, the Who Put a Nickel in Joss, because I assume, is that what you're referencing, Mike? Yeah. From the challenge. Oh my gosh. I still say that line, like, now watching, whenever Joss does anything, that's the first thing that pops into my head. So kudos to that reference. I appreciate that.
So congratulations, Peridium, by a score of 4-3. You have won this game. My tiebreaker was going to be, how many likes did Fessy get for the tweet, how do I watch BB right now on East Coast if I'm in LA?
That's awesome. It's such a Fessy tweet.
What would it be? I would say I don't know.
It was 96.
90. Oh, okay. I was gonna go a little higher, maybe like 100 something, but that makes sense.
Very Fessy. Oh man. actually, you know what? So my phone the other day was like, you haven't used these apps in a while. Would you like to delete them from your phone? And one of them was Fessy Fitness, and I was like, no, I need it.
Have you gone onto it recently?
No, I think I lost my login information. So I think, I don't know.
I downloaded it like right in the preseason of Big Brother 20. And I left like a really good review, and I started using it as a joke, and I haven't touched it since. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's gotten better since then.
It's also is it's ugly, but the other part of it is that no one uses it. So, you know,
yeah, I don't know.
That's a problem.
Also,
yeah.
Speaking of the challenge, Fessy might have another outlet to pimp out Fessy Fitness coming very soon.
True. I don't know. He was giving away like bracelets for a while or something like that, or you could buy them. I appreciate the fans out there that tried to push for me to get one. I did not receive one. But anyway, all right. So let's get into our last casuals corner of the season, wrapping everything up here with the casuals response to the finale. So overall, I will say there was actually a lot of, I don't know if controversial is the right word, but essentially there was a lot of debate going on about how Jackson was confronted with regards to his comments during the season. So there were a lot of comments that were not so funny. So I focused on things that I thought were more entertaining, and that is Jackson's reaction to winning and the casual's thoughts on that. So this first question is for you, Peridium. So again, the way casual's corner works is I pulled three comments that were from the casuals, and then I wrote the fourth comment. So it's up to you to guess which one I wrote. Okay. Comment A. Wow, dot, dot, dot. Has anyone been less excited to win? B. He wanted the confetti, and he looked like he could care less. C. How can anyone be sad with confetti? Maybe they needed balloons as well. Or D, oh my, why the big square red unhappy face, Jackson?
Oh,
I know. Wow. So which comment did I write?
Okay. So it's trying to understand what your psychology is for writing these. I'm going to say the third one was the one that you wrote. That was the one with the balloons,
yes.
Right? Okay. I don't know. I think they'll be the ones.
That is correct. Yes. That was the comment that I wrote. All right. So 1-0, but this question is for Mike. So the casuals were also interested in Jackson's clothing, that he wore at the finale.
He wore the exact same thing that he entered the house in.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And the casuals have some thoughts on that. So A, couldn't he have dressed a little better for finale night? B, did he dress in plaid because of the camp? C, sad Mickey had no other change of clothes. Same thing over and over, .. Well, now you can go buy you some more clothes. Or
we'll buy you some more clothes, yeah. Jackson.
Or D, who cares? This dude's stupid, needs to get out of those thrift store clothes.
Ooh. I really like D, but maybe that you partially wrote it. Well, so A and B were you know, A was couldn't find anything nicer to dress in. What was B again?
Did he dress in plaid because of the camp?
I kind of hope you wrote B.
Yeah, that's correct. I did write. Yes! So you know, it's so, you know, when you're making comedic decisions, I'm like, dress in plaid because of camp or because of the camp? Like, which one do I think is more stupid? But yes, that is correct, Mike. That I did write B. Okay, so now let's just get into some more general comments that were made. So, Pretty, and this question is for you. This is just a potpourri category. A, the camp stuff was very immature and childlike. Didn't care for it. B, Mickey hid it at the Holiday Inn? Over, under, and then a +/- question mark.
Why would you do over, under, and plus minus?
I don't know, but like over, under what? Like, it's not a numerical value. I guess. See, 3 out of 5 of the past winners have openly cried for their moms. Can't tell if BB is changing or the world is. Or D, what is Holly's name again? okay, so yeah, again, okay. Guess which one I wrote.
I mean, I kind of like D the most, so I'm just gonna say
yes,
D.
Yes, that's correct. I did. Wow, I guess you're doing really great. Good. Or
that's,
I'm being
that's like a
I'm
very
terrible.
Nicely written, like comedic line. Wait, so now I'm intrigued to find. So 3 of the 5 last BB winners, I guess, who are the 2 that they felt didn't cry for their moms?
Okay, well, Josh, maybe Casey is one of the ones that did not.
Yeah, Casey didn't.
Josh did. I think.
I guess. Oh, Steve did. So I guess. Casey and Nicole were.
I guess so.
So the 3 the last 5 winners, the 3 guys cried for their moms, and the 2 women didn't.
Yeah, sure. We'll go with that. yeah, I think my favorite comment was the camp stuff was very immature and childlike. Didn't care for it, which I think was just a typo, but I like to think was somehow related camps forts. Like, I don't know.
No, I like this idea of like, no, we didn't like the camps, too childlike. You need to go to a fort. You need to get into the military. That should be the theme next season.
More mature.
The BB Army.
That's right. Okay, Mike, this question is for you. A, can we just redo this season with a whole new cast? Which I think is just another season. Like, I don't understand how you redo the season.
Yeah, coming next summer.
I think redoing a season with an entirely new cast is just a different season.
Right. Okay, B, Big Brother, please no more Chads, Beckys, and Stacys when casting the show. .. Ugh.
Oh, no. Well, we talked vociferously last time about what made a Thad and what made a Steven or whatever it was.
Thad and a Chad, I think, were the 2 that we talked about.
Yeah, and there was another one that we looked up that I don't remember. Spencer.
Oh, okay, I don't remember this at all. see, my wife hid the remote, so I couldn't change the channel. I was very angry. Or D, welcome to the Illuminati Brotherhood, where riches and powers are achieved. Having you looking for a way to join the Great Brotherhood, here is a golden opportunity and a chance to join the Great Fraternity. Join the Illuminati Brotherhood today and receive a sum of $80,000 immediately after your initiation and more benefits to come your way. No human sacrifices involved. Only a few items needed for your initiation. If interested, WhatsApp the Temple Lord on... +23.
That phrase is insane. What's up, the Temple Lord?
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be my new Twitter bio.
It's like, when in doubt, find the high priest on Bumble.
Yeah, just like swipe right on the temple lord. The certain phone number for more information on how to be initiated.
Oh my god, I feel like we can do
it. You bent over backwards for that one.
I did, right? That was, yeah, I wrote a long one there.
Cannot wait for BB22, the Illuminati theme.
But
the grand prize is $80,000.
I mean, more mature than camp, so, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Very childish. Okay, now I completely forgot about the first story because of the Illuminati.
Yeah, can we redo the season with a whole new cast? The Chads, Beckys, Stacys, or my wife hid the remote?
See, I like C because I have this image of like a hide and go Vito, like miniaturized with this guy just like tearing apart his couch to find the remote. I feel like you wrote B.
I wrote C. Yeah, so I don't know where that came from.
I love you creating this character of this angry husband. Like, change the channel. My wife wanted to watch Mickey.
Well, yeah, so I was trying to understand. I was like, okay, so they're mad because they have to watch Big Brother. You were forced to watch the show.
And somehow that's more believable. Right.
So is it my congratulations, Pretium, for winning. I will say my tiebreaker were all comments about the season being over. So there were some comments that were the best part of the season was when it ended, which I thought was just a really fun comment. So so the casuals, I think, overall are pretty torn on everything. But, you know, the Holiday Inn, we'll never know. Mm.
Well, I think it represents how, like, we all feel a little strange about Big Brother 21. It was certainly an interesting summer, and we're going to have to wrap this up. I have a temple lord to WhatsApp personally. I see some finances in my future. But this was so much fun to get literally everybody in the planet's thoughts at this point about the BB21 finale as we segue into whatever is coming next for Big Brother. At least Big Brother Canada is coming. We have no idea if there's a celebrity Big Brother, if there's going to be a miniaturized All-Stars version, if they're going to do a completely different season with an entirely redone season with a new cast. Who's to say? But I'm excited for more Big Brother no matter what. Pretium, thank you so much for coming on and subjecting yourself to all of these games, bringing one game yourself as well. It's always great to have you on. How can people follow you on social media, and what do you have coming up in terms of coverage for both Big Brother and Survivor?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Billy Geist, my real name. You can also search for Peridium. I'll probably show up on YouTube. It's Peridium, Peridiam. As far as the videos coming up next week, well, whenever this podcast is going up, I should have a review for Big Brother 21. It's going to be a long one, all encompassing, talking about the entire season, what we just watched for the past 99 days. And then after that, I'm completely shifting and I'm going to be talking about Survivor and Survivor Island of the Idols. And, you know, unless there's a winter season of Big Brother, there's a good chance I could be talking about Survivor until, who knows, maybe Big Brother Canada or Big Brother 22. So, yeah, I'll be talking about nothing but Survivor for the foreseeable future.
Wow. So quick thoughts, by the way, what did you think about the Island of the Idols premiere?
I thought it was okay. I'll say that my wife was very down on it. I was much higher on it than it was interesting because normally we'll talk about it and I was mixed. I was like, it's all right. I guess we'll see where it goes. It kind of felt like a little bit like Ghost Island with the theme, the twist, except instead of there being flashbacks, we had flash forwards with Rob and Sandra being a fair bit older than they used to be. And, you know, I was like, OK, we'll see where this goes. I thought it was really interesting that we had such a prominent female cast. I don't think we've ever had such so much visibility with the women in the season, which I was blindsided by and looking forward to. I'm like, let's see where this goes. You know, people were saying the same thing with David versus Goliath. So maybe it'll lead to good things. Yeah, I know. I liked it. Because I've been so focused on Big Brother 21, I've went into the season almost totally blind, which isn't usually very common. So like for season 40, I'll be totally the opposite. So I have nothing distracting me. So I thought it was pretty good. I felt, not fancy Fencerton, not like, didn't straight up dislike it. My wife thought it was kind of hokey with the whole Rob Sandra thing. She's like, gosh, they're really, really phoning it in at this point, aren't they? And I'm like, half Survivor's lifespan's been phoning it in at this point.
Say,
it's like you're either on board with the phoning or you're just like not watching anymore.
And also
so,
in terms of corniness, not to Big Brother shame, but she would just need to wait like an hour longer and see the other show that's on in terms of corniness and what sort of devours the other from that perspective.
Right, and she watches Big Brother with me, so I'm like, I don't know where you're going with it. Like, we just finished Survivor, going right into Big Brother, which is like top. You know, they just, anyway. So, yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I'm looking forward to it. I have pretty high hopes.
Nice.
I'm glad there's no Edge of Extinction. So
yes,
we'll see.
Exactly. We can always be happy about that. It's very childlike and campy. Leon.
Yeah, I'm glad Ronnie's gone for episode one. That was nice. You know, I wasn't rooting for him. So anyway.
Liana, what about you? How can people follow you on social media? And while Big Brother might be off the air for the time being, what do you have working on in the pod sphere?
Well, so first of all, I will give this podcast a Nicole out of 10. Very, very fun. And then also Peridium, I have to say this because I've thought of this quote since I watched the video about your final two jury performances, the comment about Gina Marie.
Okay.
The one where she's reading from a teleprompter written by a first grader that's trying to write a thank you card to their grandmother. Oh, my God. I laugh so hard. I think about that quote often.
I'm just me. I'm just Gina Marie.
Yeah. Oh, it's so funny. So it's really fun to have you on for the finale of this. You do absolutely great coverage on your YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But yeah, so for me, you know, Mike and I are back together for the Survivor RHAP B&B. So we had our first week of coverage with Nicole Sestrini, which was a lot of fun. And then we're going to be back this next week with Haley Strong. So definitely check out that. And then I'm also doing Mass Singer coverage with Puya over on the Wrap Ups channel. And oh, man, it's such a crazy season. It's so weird. It's so bizarre. Definitely check it out. We have a lot of fun breaking everything down and just talking about all of the ridiculousness that is the Mass Singer.
And you could always follow me at a Mike Bloom type. You can check out the exit press I did with everybody this season on Big Brother 21. I talked with the final three the day after the finale, and they were all in good spirits and got some very interesting perspectives on their game. So be sure to check all that out. I'm also doing exit press for Survivor 39 as well, which I have a very unique perspective on because I got to go out there preseason and definitely, talking with these people both before and after the game, even just experiencing it with one person so far with Ronnie has been a very interesting experience. And it was one of the best times I had in my life. So I'm excited to watch the season now. You know, I was out there for the first few days. So on the B&B, I got to talk a bit about what I got to see from my vantage point of the first episode. And now I'm completely in the dark and I'm very intrigued to see where it goes. I was very high on the premiere. I thought there was a lot of great stuff into it. Though we'll see, you know, how this concept ends up playing out and how it plays into the airtime of the season specifically. But it should be an interesting season no matter what. And of course, Josh Wigler and I are going down the hatch every week on post-show recaps, recapping an episode of A Loss. We have Confidence Man, the big Sawyer episode coming up, actually a very much a Jackson Mickey type in terms of a very reviled person who might become an underdog at one point, though maybe problematic in a different way than Mickey, I should say. Definitely less of an affinity for the fruit, more of affinity for books. So be sure to check all that out on post-show recaps. That's going to do it for the BBB&B. Thank you all so much for tuning in. I know with Big Brother, we tend to do less recurring ones, more on these every few weeks, monthly basis. But for such a strange season as Big Brother 21, I really enjoy getting to get into it with you, Liana, and our guests, Matt Liguori, Mary Kwiatkowski, Puya, and of course, Peridium. I always love keeping the B&B doors open and air conditioned for the summer as we begin to move into the fall and we replace our watermelons with pumpkins.
Yeah. I don't know. What's going to be the next fruit that we're obsessed? I guess soup maybe is like our new food obsession. Yeah. If we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, soup. We were opening the B&B soup kitchen as well. You can check out our Survivor coverage for that backstory because it is weird. But it is a lot of fun, much like this show. But that's going to do it for BB21 coverage. Depending on what happens, if there is a winter season, maybe we'll come back and do something. If not, we'll be talking Survivor like Peridium until the summer when BB22 rears its head. Thank you all so much for listening. Again, you can always submit to us any games that we might want to play in the foreseeable future, rhapbnb@gmail.com or hashtag rhapbnb. We're always open to any and all suggestions. Thank you all so much for listening and your support all season long. Special thanks to Scott St. Pierre for editing this behind the scenes and Wolf from America for the use of our theme song. Peridium, thank you again. Liana, thank you so much as always. My ride or die. Keep feeding the positive. We'll check you all out at your next step.
Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. RHAP B&B Mike and Liana.
sounds cool. I can tell you the name. It's the RHA.
You can stay for free.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.